You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
So, hey, we've been making this podcast for over 2.5 years.
What?
Yep, thanks to listeners like you. And from the gate, people have asked us for merchandise or additional content or even some hang time with me and Scott.
That's weird.
It is. But we think we have a solution for you.
Yep, we are excited to announce that we have a new Patreon page.
Yeah, and you know how people are patrons of the arts? Well, in this case, we're the arts.
Hmm. And by becoming a Patreon, you'll get bonus content, access to outtakes that the general public will never see, extremely cool merch, and depending on what tier you get on, a monthly hang time with Laura and I.
Yep, and it all starts at just $5 a month.
That's nothing.
Right? Not per day, not per week. It's only $5 per month.
And you're guaranteed merchandise.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So click the link in the show notes to read about the different tiers and see what great stuff you can get. Become a podcast patron. Join our Patreon today at www.patreon.com/theonlyoneintheroom.
Our team needs a little rest and vitamin D after this crazy 2021 year. We've been working really hard and we need a little break. But don't worry, we'll be back on January 4th with new episodes in season 12. In the meantime, we're going to be bringing you some of your favorite episodes from the year 2021.
Yes, we are. And yeah, these are your favorites, which is so great. We love to be able to do this. One of your favorites was Robert Cabrera, who was the only one who survived a genocide and landed on the Forbes 30 Under 30 list.
Craziest journey,
right?
Huh?
What a feat. We have Jessica Frew, who's the only one who was still in love with her gay ex-husband.
I love that story.
Yeah, that's one of our favorites, too. Wally Green, the only one who saved his life with ping pong, which is an unbelievable story.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Foster, the only one who improved his vision by losing his eyesight. I particularly like the Scott talks on this one.
Powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nick North, the only trans dad of 5. So much joy. You have to listen to Nick.
I've never heard this story before.
No. Mm-mm. And then we're going to do, Scott and I, because you've asked for it, a holiday special where we talk about the year and wrap it up and probably talk some more about our own respective stories and our story together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're gonna end it with Mikel Vega, who was one of our most powerful episodes of 2021.
Thank you guys so much for a great year, and I hope you enjoy this month.
Yes, and happy holidays to all of you, whatever you celebrate. If you're not celebrating anything, just, you know, join us and enjoy the ride, and we'll be back on January 4th with our 12th season.
Enjoy the show. Nick, thank you so much for being on the show. That's just such a fascinating... I feel kind of like late to the party on my education of gender fluidity, and I'm always a little cautious in these conversations because I feel like I'm going to step on myself, but I thoroughly enjoyed your journey and how you've handled it. And I have to tell you, the most striking thing was to listen to a man explain what it was like to have a baby.
Mm. It's real cool, right?
It's super cool. Do you find yourself in that setting often, being able to speak to both sides of that from the male perspective about being a mother of 5 or what would you say you are? Are you a birther of 4?
I often refer to myself as a trans dad, and partially that's because I don't want the fact that I birthed them to disappear.
Right.
People often be like, well, why don't you just refer to yourself as a dad? Aren't you like limiting yourself by saying you're the trans dad? And I'm sort of like, but I'm sort of erasing part of myself if I leave the trans part out, you know?
Yeah. It's an interesting part of your journey. It's the one that I stumble when I think about it, because I'm like, you have the question and the answer to the whole journey, you know? And I've often thought women are more evolved because you get to create life, or women get to create life.
But there's more people that can create life like that. Like, we're finding that there's more and more people that have birthed kids and from all different types of genders, mm-hmm. whether they're intersex, whether they are gender fluid or gender nonconforming or non-binary or just trans. And it's this really wonderful thing. In the trans masculine world, we call it being a seahorse dad.
Okay.
Because seahorses, the males carry the young.
Right.
It's like a cool thing.
We take examples from the natural world too.
Right. We love that. That can happen in real life. Uh-huh. So it could happen in real life. Cool. There's like lots of groups of us online. There's probably like, I think there's a group that I'm part of that is all people who've birthed their own kids who are identify as male. And there's probably 300-400 people in the group.
And I love the idea that your kids don't question the journey at all. They just see it as something that happened in their lifetime. You went from one role to another.
Yeah, it depends on which kid you are. So if you talk to Wild, who's 7, she has never remembered me as anything other than her dad.
Okay.
So, and you talk to Mayhem, who's 6, and he started kindergarten this year, and we had to have, we did the like, you know, the teacher's like, is there anything else I should know about your family? Mm-hmm. And I had to have the like, well, I'm trans. So I birthed 4 of the kids, which includes Mayhem. And so he'll often, people will say, well, like, oh, well, daddies can't have babies. And it's important for him to have the safety for someone to back him up when he says, yes, they can.
Yes, they can. Yeah.
You know, and so we have to have a lot of those conversations. It's part of why we chose to move here, because it's the most liberal place in the country. And his teacher was like, of course daddies can have babies.
Oh, that's so cool.
Right? Like that was the response.
I mean, I wish I grew up in a time, you know, where that sort of thing, you didn't have to challenge the ideology to have a thought or a feeling about it, mm-hmm. you know. You talked about generational trauma. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something that we all sort of know about but don't recognize in our own lives sometimes. You're definitely on the cutting edge of changing the ideas of your generation and then watching your kids also walk forward with these new ideas to teach their kids and the people around them, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to have been both in the generation in which, like, I grew up not knowing that trans people existed. I didn't know there was anyone else on the planet like me.
Yeah, I honestly hadn't spoken to – I think D'Lo was one of the first people I'd spoken intimately about the journey, and he was just so lovely. Mm-hmm. And then we got to
We're
know
really him. Wonderful people.
Yeah, I know. I mean, not that – I don't think that I had often –
I'm just bugging you.
No, I mean, I just don't think I'd been given the chance to be close to or curious. And
you probably have. That's the thing, is mm-hmm. that we are actually 2% of the population. So literally anytime there's a redhead in the room, there could also be a trans person.
Sure.
But it hasn't been safe for us to be visible before.
Right.
And so
it's still lived, not at times, I'm sure.
It's not in a lot of places. Yeah. You know, I am lucky to live in Canada where for the most part it is safe. I also am at the top of the privilege chain mm-hmm. as far as the trans community goes. I'm white. I am cis passing. I am middle class. I have a supportive partner. So I have a ton of privilege that I feel like it's like that Spider-Man moment where like, well, with much privilege comes much responsibility.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
That I can show up and be like, great, ask me your uncomfortable question. Don't ask that poor 17-year-old trans kid who is just trying to make it through life. I'm okay. Come talk to me. Ask me those questions. Don't ask the kid in your kid's high school. Don't ask the trans woman at the grocery store. Don't, like, that's not what you're supposed to do here. Sure. Come to me. You know, and I have that privilege and I have that safe space set up and that container set up, you know, online that allows me to do that.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Well, I was going to ask you next about We the Norths. I've been sitting here looking through your site during the interview, and it's beautiful. Do you find yourself as inspiration for people who are on a similar journey?
It's really interesting. I do not have a huge trans following. I have a small percentage of my community that follows me that's trans. But I would say, well, I know that 85% of my followers are women between the ages of 25 and 45. It's really wild. From knowing my followers, would guess that they're like 80% white women and probably 80% straight white women. And I think mostly who I am there for is I am the approachable, safe trans person that you can talk to and ask questions of and feel like, oh, we're just like them, right? I'm that, like, that stepping stone that's like, oh, okay, I see how that's approachable. All right.
You really do look like you graduated high school last year.
Right, I do, yeah. And when I had hair, it was through the roof, but turns out it all fell out. So now I look older. Before, it was really problematic.
All right, so last question. You've already told us that probably your favorite thing, this is, I'm assuming, was when you were female, was having babies, being a mother. Mm-hmm. What about being a male? What's your favorite thing about being a male?
I have two.
Okay.
One is that whenever I go to a new city, I wait until it's night and then I walk around at like between 10 p.m. and like 1 in the morning and learn the city in the middle of the night when it's dark. And there's not a chance in hell I could have ever done that as a woman.
Okay. I like that. I never thought about that.
It is the thing I would miss most about being a man is the freedom to go where you want without feeling like you're about to die.
That's a cool time of night. You kind of get a really...
It's a cool time of night, yeah. You know, right?
It's like, an interesting, you get a real vibe of what's going on. You see both, you see the one type of person going in and the other coming out into the world.
Yeah, and so I would really miss that. And I would miss this is going to sound really, it's like both jerky and eye-opening, is I would miss the fact that people do not question me anymore. Before, I would say something and I would have to back it up every time. I'd have to have statistics. I'd have to have data. I'd have to then be able to have the data that disproved their stupid opinion. And now I say something and people are like, oh, cool. I could have just made numbers up. And they're like, really, huh? And honestly, it comes just from being a man.
Wow. As a white, like I am, you know, the most privileged, you know, category there is, I get that, you know. Mm-hmm. People often are just like, oh, okay, you say that? Okay, I'm cool.
Cool. And you're like, but until you've had something different,
right,
you can't really realize how bad and fucked up it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't identify as a feminist when I identified as female because I was like, I mean, it's not that bad.
Right.
Right?
And then you became
and
male.
And then people started treating me like a man, and I was like, this is some effed up stuff right here. What is even going on?
Wow.
It is just as bad and then some.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a great job of educating all of us, Nick. I really appreciate
you
having the courage to put your story out there so we can all learn from it and see that being happy is really, I think, the pursuit we all are looking for. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible brand new Only One interview. And every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading something that I love. If you have an Only One story you'd like to share or a piece of writing you'd like to submit, please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.